Welcome in, Eagles fans, to today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase here with you for another edition. Today, I'm very excited to be kicking off a positional preview special here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, training camp edition, as next week, July 25th, officially, Eagles training camp gets underway. Extremely excited. We're getting through the dead period together. Finally getting to some actual Eagles football, and I'm just so excited to get it going, to see Carson Wentz out on the practice field. Not only Carson Wentz, though, but to see all the guys coming back from the 2017 Super Bowl run, some new guys like Mike Wallace, Dallas Goedert, Michael Bennett. It's so exciting that, you know, not only do the Eagles win the championship, but there's just so many new pieces now that are going to be huge in a repeat run, and it's just an awesome time to be an Eagles fan right now, and we're getting it going. July 25th, training camp officially starts. Today we start our positional previews. We're going to do one a day throughout this week and right before training camp begins, we should finish up. Today we are going to do, of course, we're going to start with the most important position, not only in football, but I would probably say in all sports, and that is the quarterback position. It probably is the one position on the Eagles that has the least uncertainty, which, I mean, how amazing does that feel? Especially for, I know we had Donovan McNabb from 99 to 2010, but from 2010 up until this point when we drafted Carson Wentz in 2016, there was not a lot of certainty at the quarterback position. Michael Vick for a year caught fire. We thought maybe he's the guy. But even before that, though, let's go to that year in the summer. It was Kevin Cobb was supposed to be the guy. And that was an actual thing, Eagles fans, because I have a Kevin Cobb jersey, which is now a cutoff workout shirt, basically, that I jog in. But nonetheless, Kevin Cobb was going to be a guy for the Philadelphia Eagles that we thought might be the future. You roll through Vick, then it was Nick Foles, you know, the first version of Nick Foles, 27-2. Then he ends up taking a step back in 2014, gets hurt. Chip Kelly trades him for Sam Bradford. And then Mark Sanchez, you sprinkle in there. He had a hot second half of the season in 2014. Then he becomes Bradford's backup. Bradford, for me, to start, I knew from the start he was not going to be our guy. Then finally, Howie Roseman takes back over for the Eagles, drafts Carson Wentz, and we have some stability at the quarterback position. Not only just with Wentz, but we have two other quarterbacks that if they had to play right now, I'd be confident in their ability to carry us to the playoffs and maybe deeper. If we're talking about Nick Foles and with Nate Sudfeld, look, he hasn't played an NFL game yet, you know, regular season football, but the Eagles really like what they have in Nate Sudfeld as their third string quarterback, the developmental project guy, and I really like what they have in Sudfeld as well. I actually went back to watch his tape from the Week 17 game where he played against Dallas. So I'm sorry, he did play one regular season game against Dallas last year in Week 17. I went back to the film, kind of watched what did I like from his tape in that game. So we're going to get into Carson Wentz, we're going to get into Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld, but we got to start with Wentz. The guy, the franchise quarterback, we're all coming off the Nick Foles Super Bowl MVP, so it really has been a Foles type of offseason, especially with Wentz's injury. But it's all about Carson Wentz again. If he's healthy, he's going to start week one. He looks amazing. We're now, 8 months into his rehab. He still has two more months before the regular season starts. I think this guy's going to be playing week one. And with Wentz, it really is just about health. It was just, I know it was just one elite season. Wentz is only going into his third year. There are a lot of guys that caught lightning in a bottle for a year. Heck, Nick Foles was one of those guys back in 2013. And his rookie season, if you just read off Carson Wentz's stats, although I think it's irresponsible, you see 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. It really just seems like it was the 1 year for Carson Wentz. But from what he showed, not just the production itself in 2017, but why and where he was good in certain areas last year, and even in his rookie year, you know, when we're talking about the red zone, he's one of the best red zone quarterbacks in the NFL. On third downs, he, outside of, you know, him and Tom Brady, were the two most efficient quarterbacks on third down. I actually have some stats for you I'm going to read off about Carson Wentz and his efficiency in the clutch when it really came down to Wentz having to make a play. And then in the film room, you know, I just don't see how Wentz could possibly fall off. Let's throw it out the window and just talk about his performance. Unless your name is Kian Fahey, I don't know how you think Carson Wentz takes a step back in 2018 and then for his career. I think what you saw last year, you're not going to probably see 33 touchdowns again every single year. You're not going to see some of the numbers he put up. But that is the type of player he is, an elite quarterback in the NFL, and I think he's going to establish himself there permanently this coming season. So, again, nothing really. If he's healthy, full-on, the Eagles have, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, top two, top three. The only guys I'll respect, and I'll put probably Rodgers and Brady ahead of him right now, maybe even Drew Brees, but the Eagles have themselves a top five franchise quarterback, and God, does it feel so good that we can just worry about who's going to play nose tackle, you know, who's going to be our third receiver, how many snaps is Dallas Goedert going to get, what are they going to do with Corey Clement and Darren Sproles? I mean, isn't that a lot better than saying, damn, we're stuck with Sam Bradford, we just paid him, we're picking 14th right now, do we really want Paxton Lynch? Remember those conversations, or how are we going to get up from pick 20 to get Marcus Mariota back in 2015. It's so awesome to be feeling the way Eagles fans do right now about the quarterback position. Let me just so we can really appreciate Carson Wentz, I went back and I looked through some just awesome stats, some of them from Pro Football Focus, some I put together myself, just so we can fully appreciate what Wentz did last year. Because again, I know Foles won the Super Bowl for the Eagles, but again, Wentz was the guy that put them in that position. He's the reason they had a first-round bye. He's the reason, really, that the Eagles got hot and were able to continue rolling once Foles went right back into the lineup, or right into the lineup. You know, they didn't skip a beat with Nick Foles, and a lot of that, too, is just Carson Wentz setting the tone early in the season and just not stopping throughout. But just some cool Wentz stats for you. Just when we're talking about efficiency inside, we're looking at a guy that knelt with Nelson Aguilar. I know Aguilar made Wentz better, but the quarterback to me makes a receiver better more than a receiver makes a quarterback better. And I think Wentz's progression from year one to year two, also, obviously it was the positional change with Aguilar going into the slot, but how good Carson Wentz was last year was amazing for Aguilar, especially with Wentz's ability to improvise on the run when the offensive structure broke down. I think Aguilar was the guy that Wentz looked to just when it went to down to street ball, like, can you get open? And that's when Aguilar's athleticism went. And a lot of that had to do with Wentz, because he was able to extend plays. He was able to build Aguilar's confidence with a lot of these big plays. When Wentz targeted a slot receiver, so Aguilar, Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey played in the slot a lot, he was at a 137.8 QBR. So that's just when targeting receivers in the slot. Let's go to throws on, you know, 10 to 19 yards down the field. He had the highest QBR in the NFL. How about on third downs? Third down and 6+, Carson Wentz, highest quarterback rating at 127. So those, remember back in 2015 with Sam Bradford? How many of you out there that are listening to this podcast, when it was third and 7 or more, had confidence that Bradford was going to convert that third down? With Wentz, you never doubt that he can make a play. And third down and 6 or more, he was absolutely money. Again, 127 QBR, even on the dot, was Carson Wentz in 2017. I like reading these stats off, just so we really appreciate, just it's just not in one area for Wentz. It's not just he's a great runner and he's a great improviser. It's no, he is money on third down and long. And not just third down and long, but third and short. From third and one and fourth and ones last year, so fourth and short, or third and fourth and short, Carson Wentz had 100% conversion rating. So it's in the red zone, it's on deep plays. He was one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL last year, which was a criticism of his in 2016, that he was inaccurate in his rookie year. And it's true, he struggled with touch, with a well balance of touch and power in 2016, but that the step he took from year one to year two in that area too, it's incredible. He was actually more efficient in the short and intermediate game than Tom Brady was. Who is a better machine when it comes to short and intermediate throws than Tom Brady? And Carson Wentz was actually, according to the numbers, better than Tom Brady in those areas last year. I have a graph here. We just talked about the deep routes for Carson Wentz. On plays 20-plus yards down the field, Carson Wentz's QBR was a 108.2. On go routes especially is where he really thrived. 15 yards out, 98.9 passer rating. PFF put this route tree together. On hitch plays, 17 yards down the field, a 102.8 passer rating. There's just, it's some incredible work Carson Wentz did. Just, I think once he gets back in week one, we're going to say, okay, we forgot. This is the guy. This is going to be the face of the Eagles for the next decade. A couple more stats for you before we get on to Nick Foles. Tight, accurate, you know, in tight window throws last year, according to the accuracy charting, Carson Wentz had the highest accuracy percent at 47.3. That was ahead of Drew Brees at 2, Eli Manning, surprisingly, at 3, Jameis Winston at 4, and Tom Brady at 5. So Wentz was better in tight window throws than both Drew Brees and Tom Brady last year. So these are some just awesome stats. Against pressure, I'm going to keep going. This is the last one I got for you. Against pressure in his rookie season, Carson Wentz's QBR was a 32.8. He struggled in that area. It wasn't a mobility thing. It was, too. His receivers just couldn't make plays for him. Again, he did struggle down the field. And again, when the play breaks down, you normally do look deeper down the field. When you're running around, receivers are trying to get open for you. I mean, they do come back to the ball, but you do see, I mean, the Nick Foles play last year against Minnesota, although Foles was still in the pocket in the NFC Championship game, the play did kind of break down. Alshon Jeffrey noticed that the coverage all swarmed up to the line of scrimmage, and he was able to slip behind Harrison Smith in that secondary and score that touchdown. Wentz increased his QBR in that area by 48.9, from a 32.8 in 2016 to 81.7 last year under pressure. It's so awesome to have a quarterback that when there's a blitz coming, he can actually escape it and not just sit there and take a hit. I love mobile quarterbacks, and if you're a mobile quarterback that's huge like Carson Wentz is, it's just such a plus. So I know this so far has been the Carson Wentz just gaga podcast right now, just man crush on Carson Wentz, but it's okay because I'm gonna be real. That's what we got right now in Philadelphia. I've never seen an athlete more loved in the city of Philadelphia or more just adored and accepted than Carson Wentz has. And it's just the eye test, you know. This guy, I think he's gonna be a Hall of Famer. I know that might be premature. It is premature. He's only in year three, but just we look back. I mentioned this on one of the previous podcasts. The story about him and Ertz in the film room watching how Carolina secondary gave up a lot of big plays on the one route. I think it was a post route to the tight ends in the slot. And then Carson Wentz's touchdown to Zach Ertz on that Thursday night football game last year was that exact route that Wentz, I don't know the exact route, so don't quote me on it, but Ertz said after the game, Wentz was watching the film that week and kept telling Ertz, like, this is the play we're going to go to in the red zone. So it's stories like that where you can tell there's no stat for that. There's no stat for his film room study. You know, it's just a combination of everything that if you think last year was an anomaly for Carson Wentz, I think you're going to be gravely mistaken. Really, what do we got to look for in, for Wentz that's different next year? What does he have to improve upon? I don't think it's necessarily anything to improve upon. It all just comes down to, can he perform on the big stage like Foles did, you know, now? Or and if he doesn't, I don't think we're ever going to hear the end of it. John Barchard of Bleeding Green Nation had a great tweet today. There was a SB Nation thing that asked, what's your worst nightmare in sports? And John Barchard's response was, Carson Wentz never winning a Super Bowl, so everyone tells us how much better Nick Foles was than Carson Wentz. And that's probably right. I'm sure some irrational Eagles fans and troll NFL fans will probably make that case if Wentz never ends up getting another ring. But that's the thing now we got to look for is, I know he did it on some big stages last year. You know, you look at the Rams game, the game that he got hurt. He put them in a position, you know, throwing that touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey when he tore his ACL. He put them in a position against a top NFC team to win that game. That game was on him. I think that might have been Carson Wentz's most impressive game of his career, just in the 2 years that he's played. So, but it does come down to, you know, he's not played a playoff game yet. So, and that's a different animal. It is. So that's one thing that we have not seen. So I can't defend him when people say we have to see that first. Like, it's not complete until we see that. I totally understand that. But Wentz is just so focused and determined to get that team back there. And it's why I don't see them having a down year. We talked about it on a podcast last week, how the Eagles will handle success. Maybe losing Wentz for the year was the way to have another great shot at repeating. Because we haven't seen it yet, but that is his mission right now, is to lead the team himself to the playoffs. He was an incredible teammate for Foles. He did a lot of work on the sideline with the team when he was hurt. But, you know, he even said he had to put his feelings to the side. He had to be jealous, and he's got to want to lead the Eagles to the championship on his own right. I totally respect that, and because of how determined he is, because of his work ethic and the type of guy and player and leader he is, I think that he's going to be just fine as a playoff quarterback. I think they're going to get back there this year, and we'll see what he can do. But that's the one thing we got to look for with Carson Wentz is, what does he do on the big stage, like Nick Foles? Nick Foles has saved his best football for the big stage, not just last year, but even in 2013. He left the field against the Saints in that wild card game with the lead. Before we get into Nick Foles, this episode is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you'll ever own. What makes the Core Track belt so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belt uses a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from, which is awesome. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size fluctuates in and out. Just a little at a time, the Core Track belts adjust to match your waist exactly. So each point on the Core Track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patent and design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an extra large belt that goes up to 54 inches. So you adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double stitched with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces, making maybe there's an Eagles buckle face. That'd be a cool thing. I'd wear a belt buckle with the Eagles logo on the front, made using solid stainless steel or high grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belt carry a 30-day money back guarantee and a full 1-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're gonna love it and want to get rid of your other belts. All those old ones that you got hanging in the closet with the hangers, take them off, throw them out, and visit coreessentials.com. That's right, Core Essentials, K-O-R-E, to learn more and to get your own Core Track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go Core Track, you're never going to go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners on the Locked On Eagles podcast and across the entire Locked On podcast network. You can save 10% off your order when you use your code Locked On, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, no spaces, at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code Locked On to save 10% on your orders. All right, let's get to Nick Foles. Let's get to Nate Sudfeld and the other two remaining guys in this quarterback room. I will give a shout out to Joe Callahan as well. I'm sorry, Joe, we're probably not going to get to you as much. Although the Eagles were pretty impressed with him in the spring, maybe he'll be a practice squad guy. That's your Joe Callahan special for the podcast. But the Eagles probably have the best quarterback room in the NFL right now. When you have a MVP candidate and a Super Bowl MVP in the same room, not to mention Nate Sudfeld, that's probably the best collection of talent that you can have. And it's not a bad situation. I would have probably taken the second-round pick that the Browns offered the Eagles, if the report is true, and the Browns ended up offering that very high second round pick, which pretty much was a low first round pick. It was one of the top first round or second round picks in the draft last year. I probably would have took that, but I'm not going to complain about having Nick Foles on the Eagles for one more year. I'm not. And the nice part is also the restructure. You know, you can make a trade easier. Because with the restructure now, the Eagles have that $20 million option that they can pick up next year. And if another team, so say, although Foles would still have to agree to it, because in the restructure, Nick Foles can buy his way to free agency next year by giving back the signing bonus of $7 million to the Eagles next year. But because there's this option, it makes it more reasonable for a team to maybe want to trade for Nick Foles, because then they could pick up the option if that's how the Eagles and the team agreed upon it and Nick Foles. Again, it's got to be a three-part trade, not with just the Eagles, but a team and Nick Foles, because Foles can always buy his way back to free agency. But before, Nick Foles was just going to be straight up an unrestricted free agent next year, and no team's really going to want to trade a first or second round pick, although the Browns did, but Cleveland seems always to be an outlier in the NFL with how you should run an organization. But And I'm sorry, Jeff Lloyd of the Locked On Browns. I love having you on my show in Buffalo. You do some great work with the Browns, but it's true. The Cleveland Browns are still the joke of the NFL until proven otherwise. You still have zero wins in 2017. But that's enough trashing on the Browns. But outside of them, no other team was really going to give up what the Eagles wanted for Nick Foles, considering he was on a one-year deal. But now this option maybe makes it a little bit more interesting. And the option, it really... Knock on wood, if anything happened to Carson Wentz, having that option of keeping Nick Foles next year is nice. Although, we had Zach Moore on the podcast yesterday of OverTheCap.com. I don't think the Eagles are picking up a $20 million option, even if something happened to Carson Wentz. And like Zach Moore said yesterday, if go back and check out that, it was an awesome podcast. We went inside the Eagles salary cap situation yesterday with Zach Moore of OverTheCap.com. He's also the author of Caponomics. So you can check that out on LockedOnEagles.com or any podcast app that you find. We're up on there. It was an awesome conversation. And like he said, back in 2015 when the Eagles called him in for a meeting, he suggested, and the Eagles have used this, collecting quarterbacks. It's a great strategy to invest in multiple quarterbacks, and the Eagles have continued that strategy, not only from Bradford, Chase Daniel, and Carson Wentz, but now they have Carson Wentz. They've hung on to Nick Foles. They paid him a lot of money last year to come in and be the backup, and now they have Nate Sudfeld, who's a developmental guy that they really like, and fans and Eagles media alike think they could have something there, maybe the backup of the future in Philadelphia, and then eventually the team thinks he could be a starter down the road. But, you know, it's a great strategy to have. I love having Nick Foles still on the team. And it's just so impressive how he's handled everything. You know, he even told Peter King this week how tough it was to keep his priorities set. You know, you see guys like Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford, worse quarterbacks than Nick Foles, underachieving quarterbacks that have been less successful than Nick Foles, get mega deals. Kirk Cousins' contract is fully guaranteed. Sam Bradford got another $20 million deal in Arizona, which blows my mind, considering Bradford is still yet to lead a team to a winning record or even sniff a playoff game. Maybe I think the closest he came was his rookie year when it was the winner go home against Seattle. And he ended up losing to Charlie Whitehurst. So that shows just how I feel about Sam Bradford. But Nick Foles is... he is the consummate pro. He is just everything he's been talking about in the media this summer, saying how much he wants Carson Wentz to succeed, even at his own expense, wanting the right situation. Before the Eagles just trade him to anyone. It's so cool. He's such a role model. You know, his book just came out, which I got to check out. I'm not going to complain about having him this year. And who knows? Let's say a team like the Rams. Let's say a contender. Maybe they probably wouldn't end up trading Foles within the NFC unless they offered a first-round pick like Minnesota did. But say a team in the AFC, like a Pittsburgh or a Jacksonville, say Blake Bortles just flames out 8 weeks into the season, they come to the Eagles and say, we want Nick Foles, we're willing to give up a first-round pick because we think Foles could get us to a Super Bowl this year. And I think with Nick Foles at the helm, the Jaguars could get into the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots. I'm not going to rule out a Nick Foles trade quite yet this season, but hey, if we have Nick Foles for the entire year and then he leaves next year, as a GM, that's going to suck because you wish you could have got some compensation for him, but I'm okay with having him throughout the year. He deserves to choose where he wants to go, and I'll enjoy having him in Eagles green one more time. Let's get to Nate Sudfeld. Dave Spadaro wrote an interesting piece about Nate Sudfeld this week, and if Dave Spadaro's high on someone, he's the Eagles insider for the team. He's the mouthpiece of the Philadelphia Eagles. If he's high on somebody, the Eagles are high on somebody, and he, in his article about Nate Sudfeld, seemed pretty glowing about the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Sudfeld, I see why. It's justified. You know, we go back to that Week 17 game last year. Sudfeld played three quarters, and he completed 19 of 23 passes, 123 yards. He showed off some wheels. You know, remember that 22-yard scramble play where he actually he planted his foot in the ground 5 yards up the field, made a juke, got up down the field, and made a great run. It was an encouraging performance, and it was enough to maybe convince the Eagles that if a deal comes by that they really like for Nick Foles, they could part ways. There was people, I'm not going to lie. Like, again, I love what Nick Foles did last year, but I'm not going to lie and act like I expected it. I thought maybe they should give Nate Sudfeld a look. in that week 17, the buffer period between week 17, so the wild card weekend when the Eagles had a bye, I thought maybe they should give Nate Sudfeld some looks with the ones, just see where he's at, because Nick Foles just played so bad in that Raiders game and the game, the first quarter against Dallas, he looked pretty shaky. But Nate Sudfeld, I don't think people realize he's 6'6", 227 pounds. You know, a lot of people are at a loss too why Washington let him go, considering, you know, they let Kirk Cousins walk. Alex Smith is definitely not the future of any NFL franchise, even though they extended his contract to come play in Washington. You would think someone like Nate Sudfeld, Jay Gruden would want to develop, considering his measurables. I don't know what the whole story is with his fallout in Washington, but they just cut him and the Eagles picked him up, and they're loving it. They're reaping the benefits right now because, you know, he could just be another trade chip. What if he lights it up in the preseason? And he even says it's night and day compared to where he was last year in the system. This is a big preseason for Nate Sudfeld. If he lights it up and a team maybe next year comes and offers the Eagles a deal, maybe wanting Sudfeld to be their starter, I mean, they're not going to just take anything. They're going to take a seventh-round pick and trade away him and not have him as a backup. But eventually, another team might see his development and maybe want to give him a shot at a starting job in the NFL. And then that's just another player that you can wave in the face of other teams for draft picks. Howie Roseman trades more than any NFL GM in the NFL, probably ever, outside of Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, he is this era's Jimmy Johnson when it comes to being a general manager. And Nate Sudfeld's just another guy. If you develop him right down the road, Carson Wentz is going to be your guy. He's another person you can wave in the face of teams saying, look at this guy I've got. He's like four or five years in now. He's made some huge strides. Give us a pick and he can be yours. So I want to read a quote that Press Taylor said about Nate Sudfeld. He's the quarterback's coach for the Philadelphia Eagles that I read in the Spadaro piece. Quote, Nate works hard, he prepares, and he's got a lot of skill. I'm impressed with how far he's come in a short period of time this year. He hasn't been here even a year yet, and that's important to keep in perspective. We want to continue to get him reps and develop him, improve his game in every era, and this is a big summer for Nate. We're all excited about it. So, they sound like a team that is committed to, this isn't just some camp body, this is a guy they are committing time to and want to develop and eventually be Carson Wentz's number two guy. Because barring anything wrong, Nick Foles is not going to be here past 2018. So even there's Press Taylor saying how excited they are about Nate Sudfeld, and I am too. If Carson Wentz and Nick Foles had a child together, that's exactly what Nate Sudfeld is exactly what it would look like. So even when Nick Foles is gone, we'll get a little of his face, his glimmer in the face of Nate Sudfeld. And By the way, I went back and watched that Dallas game. Here are some of my notes that I wrote down about Sudfeld. I really liked his footwork sometimes in the pocket. I thought he was quick. He's got good hip movement. He showed some patience at time. There was one play, it was third and one. Sudfeld went through two reads to the left side, stepped up in the pocket. Then he was getting pushed back by a defensive tackle, rolled to the right and hit Wendell Smallwood and converted a first down. Then there were times, too, where he was a little impatient. He had happy feet. It was his first action in the regular season for the Eagles in week 17. So he did, sometimes his feet were too jitter-jatter, if you know what I mean, just way too quick, and just he didn't seem like he was settling in, and a lot of time he was focused on that and maybe was missing plays down the field. But I really liked what I saw in just one game. It's a small sample size, but he is extremely mobile for a 6'6 quarterback. That's a great measurable to have when you're that tall, and if you have quickness like he does, it's impressive. There was one other play I wrote down. It was to Marcus Johnson. He went through about three reads, came back, he evaded a rush, realized he had time in the pocket then, stepped up and found Johnson open across the middle of the field for a first down. So it was only one game, but it was good enough where people were calling for maybe him over Nick Foles in the playoffs, which is crazy now to think, looking back. But that's how promising Nate Sudfeld's been. So you add an MVP quarterback in Carson Wentz, a Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles for one more year, and then a really promising project in Nate Sudfeld, and you got yourselves just a complete package at the quarterback position, and it's one I'm super excited about. And we can just kick our feet back, relax, watch these guys go to work through the summer, and then just reap the benefits of having the deepest positional core in the NFL of the most important position in sports at quarterback. And it's such a great feeling, and that's going to do it. It's going to wrap it up, our first positional preview here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, quarterback edition. Thank you for everyone that joined me today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We're going to go through the running backs, which is a very interesting position right now with the Eagles, with so many guys probably sharing time, so many different players, different traits, strong suits, weaknesses. We'll get into that tomorrow. But for today, that'll do it. For myself, Lou DiBiase, this has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Please leave me a review in Apple Podcast. You can check us out on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, anywhere that you can find podcasts. We are up there, the Locked On Eagles podcast. Check it out too, lockedoneagles.com. That'll do it for today. Thank you to all of Eagles Nation that listened, and go Birds.